Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of Perek Hazorik, the 11th perek of Maseches Shabbos. This perek will deal in large part with topics that we have touched upon at the beginning of the Masechta, the Isur of Hoitzah, of transporting something from an item from a public domain to a private domain, or vice versa. In addition to that aspect of Hoitzah, there are other aspects, and they include the movement of something for Amos in Rishus Harabim. It might be through carrying something, which is called Mavir Dalet Amos Rishus Harabim, or it might be throwing an item, Dalet Amos in Rishus Harabim. We begin the Mishnah, and at the same time, we will also pay attention to Rashi's explanation. Rashi gives a very thorough background to many points that are of importance as we go on. So we start the Mishnah, Hazorek Mirushus HaYochel Rishus HaRabim, one who throws something from a private domain to the public domain, Mirushus HaRabim Rishus HaYochel, or the other way around, Chayov. He is guilty of Meleches Hoitzah. Mirushus HaYochel Rishus HaYochel Virushus HaRabim VeEmtza. If someone were to throw something from one private domain to another private domain across the way, but between the two, let's say between the two houses, you have a public thoroughfare, a Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Kiva Mechayev, Rabbi Kiva says he is guilty of Isur Hoitzah, and V'chachomim Potrin, the Chachomim exempt. Exactly the details and the heights and the circumstances will be the subject of the Gemara's analysis later. Ketzad, the Mishnah explains, according to the Rabbanan, who said he's exempt, what are the circumstances? Shtei gzustros zu keneged zu b'rishus harabim. If you have two balconies, one opposite the other with a Rishus HaRabim running between them. Hamoshit v'hazorek mizu l'zu potter. Why we said before this is according to the Rabbanan is because you see here in the Mishnah, it says that if one were to extend something, to hand something across the way, that's moshit, or zorek, or throw something from one to the other, he would be exempt. This, once again, is where the two balconies are on either side of a Rishus HaRabim, of a road, let's say, passing between these two balconies. Now, there's another scenario, Hoyu Shtehen Bidyuto Achas. The two balconies are on the same side of a public thoroughfare. In other words, they're in the same upper story, protruding from the same upper story of a building, two balconies. However, there's a gap between the balconies, so that if you look straight down, you would see that there is a public thoroughfare underneath. However, as we, in contrast to the case before, where the two balconies were on two sides of a Rishus HaRabim, here the two balconies are on the same side of the Rishus HaRabim. Hamoshit chayov v'hazorek potter. One who extends something, hands something from one balcony to the other, he will be guilty of an iser of hoitzah on Shabbos. And the reason for this is the Jews in the desert, when they were building the Mishkan beams were carried on carts. There were actually four carts, two next to each other, and then further along the Rishus HaRabim, you had two more carts in front of the first two we just mentioned. So you had the Mishkan construction site, or when they had to move the disassembly point, and they would take the beams apart from the Mishkan, of course on a weekday, and they would hand the beams from the Mishkan site to the closest, to the cart closest to it, and then they would hand from that cart, they would hand it ahead, which ahead along the we'll call it from one cart to the other that was standing in front of it, they would hand the beams, and between the carts you had Rishus HaRabim, the desert floor with the Jewish population there is considered Rishus HaRabim. So you have this process of handing along, parallel handoff, going from one point along the same side, so to speak, of the Rishus HaRabim to a point further ahead, namely the next cart. That's Moishit, and that's since that was done in the construction of the Mishkan, this idea of handing from one cart to the other, to the one ahead of it, that's Chayev. Now, let us emphasize that there was never a situation where they would hand from one cart to the one next to it, but the handing was from one cart to the cart ahead of it. So that's what we say, that the Moishit is Chayev, Vazorek Potter. If one were to throw from one cart to the next, he would be exempt, because that was they were above 10 tfochim. Shekach hois avodas halevim, thusly was the avoda of the levim. Shtei agolos zu achar zu b'rishus harabim, as we described before. Two carts, one in front of the other, in the rishus harabim. Moshitin krosh hakrosha mizu lazu. They would hand the beams. The beams were actually quite heavy. They would hand the beams from one cart to the next cart further ahead until it was loaded up. Aval lo zorkin, but they wouldn't throw them. Therefore, as far as zorek from one balcony to the other, and the balconies parallel the case of the carts, the throwing wasn't done in the Mishkan assembly process or the disassembly process. Therefore, on Shabbos, since all malachas of Shabbos are learned from the construction of the Mishkan, since in the Mishkan there was no throwing from one cart to the other, so too there would be no throwing if you were throwing from one balcony to the balcony further ahead on the same side of the public thoroughfare, there would be no Shabbos guilt. We now continue with the Gemara on Omid Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, we scan the Omid and you'll see a number of double underlines appear with a numbering system running down the Gemara text. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see numbers 1 through 4. And on the side of our Gemara, our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have written you see the double underline feature. The double underline is one of our series markings, and numbers 1 through 4. Makoros, these represent sources. Lehoitzah, the act of going from private to public thoroughfare. Hachnosa, going from public to private. V'dalet amos b'rishus harabim, and we'll discuss the issue of transporting something for amos in rishus harabim. There's zorek, throwing, or ma'avir, or carrying. In general, whenever you're dealing with the malacha of hoitzah, another facet that's integral in understanding it is that there must be an akira and hanocha, a picking up of the item from a state of non-movement, and then moving it, however you happen to move it, and then it's placing down, which is called the hanocha. So you have to account for, in general, the akira and hanocha as well, whether it be from one rishus to the other, or from one point in the rishus harabim for amos further on in the rishus harabim, an akira and a hanocha. The Gemara, Michti, Zrika Toleda Dhotsa Hi. Zrika is a subcategory of the Av Malacha of Hotsa. The list of Av Malachas of primary Shabbos activities or violations are listed in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah had opened up with Zorek. However, the Gemara is pointing out that Zorek is a byproduct of subcategory of Hotsa. Hotsa Gufa Hechok Siva. Where is Hotsa accounted for or written? What is the source for the Isser Hoitzah? Tosfos at the top points out something that we learned back on Daf Beis, but it's worth going over again. Tosfos at the top says, Hoitzah gufa hechok siva. The Gemara's question is, where is it written? Tosfos will point out, that is between the lines, that this question of where is it written, you will not find by the other Meleches Shabbos. For example, you're not going to find a Gemara that asks where is there a posuk for the Isser of cooking on Shabbos or for the Isser of sewing on Shabbos. But when it comes to this Melech of Hoitzah, the Gemara asks, where is it written? So Tosfos says, V'afal gav shehoisa b'mishkan, even though it too, Hoitzah, was in the Mishkan, was part of the Mishkan construction process, Kid Omar Heim Horidu Krosha Me'agola V'chule, as we have learned, they removed or they lowered the beams of the Mishkan from the Agola. The Agola were the carts, and the carts, being that they had a height of 10 tfochim and measured 4 by 4, they constituted a private domain. And they removed the kroshim from the agola and put them on the hamidbar floor, which was Rishus HaRabim. So you see, in the Mishkan process, part of the construction of Mishkan, you already have the dinim of Hoitzah. You already have the phenomenon of Hoitzah. And if that's the case, so that should be enough to classify it as a malacha, and hence there's no need for asking what is the pasuk, where is it written? And yet the Gemara does ask that. Mikol mokoim, the Tosfos explains, nevertheless, ilav de kosiv, if the Torah had not written a pasuk for it, so lo have the mechayvi Allah, we wouldn't have had a basis for saying one is guilty. Lefi shemalacha grua he kidapi rashnu le'el, because Hoitzah is a malacha grua, that means a lower level activity. As opposed to all other malacha Shabbos, you'll notice there is a change in the item itself. If you had raw food and it's cooked, so that it's a different quality food. If you had loose bricks and you cemented them one to the other, building a structure, so you've created a structure. If you had a torn garment and you sewed it, so now there's a change in the actual garment. However, when it comes to Hoitzah, there's no change in the item whose location is changed, so that this is considered a lower type malacha. And as to compensate for its weakness, we need to have a stronger source than just the fact that it's merely done in the Mishkan. And that's the point that is made here, why the Gemara is asking where is Hoitzah written, when such a question is never asked with regard to any of the other malachos. So the question is asked, where is Hoitzah written in the Torah? Om Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Kro. The Rabbi Yochanan says, the Pasuk says, Vayetzav Moshe ve'aviru koil b'machaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu made an announcement to stop bringing things to the Mishkan when they were initially constructing it, taking donations for the construction of the Mishkan. Moshe Heichon Havi Yosef, where was Moshe seated? B'machne Leviya. He was in the Leviim camp. U'machne Leviya Rishus HaRabim Havoi. And the Machne Leviya was a public domain. The Komer Lul Yisrael, and he told the Jews in the Pasuk we just read, he was really telling them, Lo Safiku V'Tesu Mirshayochid Didchu Lirshus HaRabim. Don't carry out of your homes any more items for the Mishkan. Don't carry from your homes, which are private domains, Rishus HaYochid, and bring it to me in the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara asks, Umimai de B'Shabbos Koi, who says that this Pasuk has anything to do with Shabbos? Dilma B'Choil Koi, maybe it's a Pasuk featuring a weekday, Umishum D'Shlimo Lo Avidita, and all it is coming to teach us is the fact that they didn't need any more donations for the Mishkan, Kirchtiv, as the Pasuk itself indicates, Vahamlocha Hoisa Dayom. And the donations, the wares needed for the Mishkan were sufficient. They didn't need to collect any more. So how do you know from this Pasuk, Vayetzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol B'machaneh, that you're dealing with a Pasuk that alludes to Hilchus Shabbos as well? Answer, it does. Gomar ha'avora ha'avora miyom ha'kipurim. Through a gzera shava, we learn that it's a Shabbos-related pasuk. In our pasuk, we have the word vaya'aviru. And in Yom Kippur, it says, as we'll see shortly, k'siv ha'cha vaya'aviru kol b'machne. Here, regarding Shabbos, regarding our Mishkan pasuk, it says vaya'aviru kol b'machne, k'siv ha'sam. And regarding Yom Kippur, it says va'avarto shofar trua. That's a Yom Kippur, Yovel related pasuk. Ma lahalon biyom isur. Just like there, it's referring to the day itself, the day of isur, the day of Yom Kippur is a day of various prohibitions, including malachas. Afkan, so too, the pasuk with Moshe, where it said, Vayitzav Moshe rukol b'machane, is biyom isur. It's talking about the day of prohibition itself. So from this pasuk, it's Moshe Rabbeinu is basically instructing them not to bring things from their houses, Rishus HaYochid, to where I am in the Machne Levio, which is Rishus HaRabim. Ashkechon Hotzah. So with that, we find a source for Hotzah. Hotzah means going from a private domain to a public domain, namely from their houses to where Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Machne Levio. Hachnosim in Olin. What about the other direction, going from a public domain to a private domain? From where do we know that that is also prohibited on Shabbos? The Gemara answers, Svorahi, it's a matter of logic. Michti, Rishus l'Rishushu, what we're describing when we're talking about Hoitzah, for example, which we already have a source for, you're going from one domain to another. Mali afuki, mali iyuli. What difference does it make whether you're afuki going out or iyuli going in? The issue is a transportation from one type of domain to another. Miu hoitso av hachnosa tolada. However, in the classification of things, we say that the act of hoitzah is classified as an av, as a primary Shabbos violation, and hachnosa is a, we'll call it a secondary or derivative type violation. At this point, we have a long bracketed section. And you can see we have a bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical descending dash dotted line. If you skim down to the end of that marking, you'll see the line on which the brackets, on the line that the marking ends, the brackets closes. These brackets are really not for the standard skipping action that we feature in Gemara markings when you see brackets, but they rather help define the length of discussion, as we indicate by the comment on the star, in the margin, the sograyim ha'gemara dona behevdel bein av l'toloda. Within the brackets, the Gemara will deal with this detail of what's the difference between an av and a tolda. After the brackets, we go to a third aspect of Melechus Hoitzah, and if you skip, you can see that there's a double underlining that comes up. And we talk about Zorak Dal Amos B'Shus HaRabim and Olam DeMechai. We'll be looking for a source for that aspect of Hoitzah, throwing an article for Amos in a public thoroughfare. That having been said, we continue with the Gemara in the brackets. Umichti, Aho Mechayev, Aho Mechayev. When we look into the matter of an Av and a Tolda, of Hoitzah and Hachnosah, we know that for each one, one is in violation. One is chayev. Am I kori lo hai av? Am I kori lo hai tolada? Why do we choose to call one an av and the other we call a tolda? Why the different classification? Answer, nafgamina, there is a practical legal ramification. The ovid shte ovos bahadi hadodi, if one were to do two separate ovos, items that are classified as ovos. For example, one were to cook something and one were to sew an article of clothing. Inami shte tolodos v'hadi hadodi. Or one would do two separate derivative activities of two, namely tolodos are derivatives of ovos. So assume that you have two ovos and you were to do the two tolodos of the two primary malachas. So you would be, what would be the din? Mechayev tarti. You'd be chayev as two separate offenses. And if you did it b'shogeg, you'd have to be, shogeg means unwittingly, not aware that it was Shabbos, or not aware that those activities are forbidden, you'd have to bring two separate sin offerings. However, v'ovid av v'toldo didei, lo mechayev elochado. However, if you do an av and its own derivative type activity, like the case of you did an act of hoitzah and then you did an act of hachnosa, lo mechayev elochado. One would be obligated to bring only one sin offering. The Gemara asks, Ula Rebbe Lozer, the mechayev atolda, the mokom av. Rebbe Lozer has a shita. He disagrees, and he says that even the performance of an av and its own derivative type activities will generate multiple sin offerings. Amai koru lo av, amai koru lo tolda. Why is one called an av and one called a tolada? Answer: Hach dehavoi b'mishkan chashiva kori lo av. That which in the construction of the mishka was of significance is called an av. Hach delo havoi b'mishkan chashiva lo kori lo av. That which in the construction of the mishkan was not of significance is not called an av. Inami, another point, another difference, or between an av and a toldo, according to Rabbi Lozer. Hach deksiva kori av. Hach v'hai delo ksiva kori toldo. That which is written, well, that we see with our immediate example of hoitzah. Hoitzah, which is something which is written, that was, we saw Moshe Rabbeinu's instruction to them was, don't take stuff from your house, from the private to me, public domain. That's called hoitzah. So that's written. V'hai delok siva hachnosa, which is not written, kori tolda, is called, therefore, by the term tolda. V'ha desnan. We have the Mishnah that says, "Hazorik arba amos bekoisel." One throws an item from where he is standing to a wall four amos away, and it sticks to the wall. And the example the Gemara gives, and Rashi quotes it over here, is he takes a sticky fig cake of figs, which is called a dvela. And he throws it at a wall. So if he throws it with enough force, it'll stick to the wall. So he throws it four amos in a public thoroughfare. And lemalo me'asorot tfachim kezorik ba'avir. If it lands on the wall at a point of more than 10 tfachim from the ground. So it's like it's suspended in midair. It's kezorik ba'avir, and he's exempt. It's not considered as if it landed, because Rishus HaRabim, the public thoroughfare, contains, other than the floor, 4 plus 10 tefachim of airspace. If you're within 10 tefachim of the ground, you're considered in the Rishus HaRabim. However, if you throw it and it lands on the wall, though the wall is facing the public thoroughfare, but it's landing on a wall at a point more than 10 tefachim from the ground, so you're not considered in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim anymore. It's basically what's called a non-location. It's not a Rishus HaYochid either. The Gemara continues, Lamata me'asorat tefachim. If the item that you threw, the sticky fig cake, landed on the wall within 10 tefachim of the floor, kezorek ba'aretz, it's considered as if you threw it on the ground. And since it's within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, and it's come to a halt, it's sticking on the wall, it's considered of hanocha as well. So you have an akira, a picking up of something four amas away in a Rishus HaRabim, throwing it a distance of four amos, and it then sticks to the wall within 10 tefachim. It's called a rishus avir rishus harabim, and hence it is he's chayav. Vazorik boretz dalin amos chayav. Likewise, someone who throws something four amos on the ground of the rishus harabim, he is guilty. Zorak arba amos b'shus harabim minolon demechayev. So we had a Tanaic source that just said that one who throws four amos in a public thoroughfare is guilty. Well, from where do you know that? Omar Rav Yoshia. Well, in this discussion, there will be a number of stages, and we've used numberings to indicate how many different stages there are till we get to an answer. And we've done that. You can see that this they're in encircled numbers, indicating the all the different attempts. So in dealing with matters of Hilchos Shabbos, we're interested in seeing where did this take place in the Mishkan. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Where do we find, from how do I know that it's Chayav? Omar Rav Yoshia, Shekein Orge Yerios, the people that were involved with weaving, this Orge, weaving the Yerios, the different sheets of fabric used in the Mishkan, Zorkin Machatein Zelozeh, they would throw their Machatein. Now here, a Machat is a needle. So they would throw their needles from one to the other. The Gemara asks, Orgin Machtin Lomali, someone who's involved in weaving, where does a needle come to play? Something just inaccurate about the facts here. A weaver doesn't use a needle. Elo Shekein Tofrei Yerios. Tofrei Yerios are people involved with sewing the curtains. The Rashi points out, Maisa Roikem, which would be people that embroidered on the Yerios, the sheets of fabric used in the Mishkan. So in embroidery, you in fact do use a needle. So it says, Zorkin Machtein Zelazeh, they would throw their needles from one to the other. The Gemara asks, Vidilmo Gabi Hadodi Havu Yasvi, maybe they were sitting in very close to one another. The Gemara says, no, they weren't sitting so close to one another. It was in the question if they were sitting close to one another, so then I lose that as a source for four Amos and Rishus Rabin. So the Gemara says, no, it's a good source because they weren't sitting so close together. Motu, if they were, Motu Hadodi B'machtin, they would end up jabbing each other with their needles. So they sat at a distance from one another. Question, V'dilma B'soch Arba Avu Yasvi, fine, they sat not literally touching one another, but maybe they sat within four Amos of one another, and we're looking for a source of throwing four Amos. Elo Omar Rav Chista, Shekein, a third approach, Shekein Oreg Yerios, Zorkin Buchiar Bayeria. Rav Chista says that the people involved with working the looms on which the Yerios, the skeins of Mishkan fabric were woven, they would throw the bochiar while doing the weaving process. Rashi says the bochiar kli shikonishil orev nosenbo v'zorkin bein shnei dofnei hayiria. It's a might be translated as a shuttle. Whatever the case is, it's a tool used in the weaving process where the thick threads were wound around it, and this was thrown back and forth between the two frames of a loom in the weaving process. So for our purposes, what Rav Chista is suggesting is a weaving tool was thrown from one side to the other of a loom. The Gemara asks, "Vahalo ogdo biodo?" Fine, the basic tool was thrown, but it was still you were still holding on to the string that was attached to the bochiar. So you never really released it. Answer: Benisko basra. This is a reference to the last throw of the bochiar, so then you totally released it from your hand. So there was a throwing action, and you didn't continue holding on to the string extending from it. The Gemara asks, "V'habba mokum p'tur ko'azlo?" We mentioned that you were throwing the bochiar between the two frames of the loom. Well, the area between the two frames of the loom is not Rishus HaRabim. That's a mokum p'tur. It's a place of exemption. We learned back in the first perek of this Masichta on Daf Vov, if I'm not mistaken, there were four different classifications of domains in Hilchos Shabbos. In addition to the Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and the Carmelis, there was also something called a mokum p'tur. And for our purposes, all we have to say is that the area between the two frames of a loom are what's called a mokum p'tur. It's a place of exemption. So how can that possibly be the source for Zorig Arba Amos B'Rishus HaRabim when it wasn't even a throwing in a Rishus HaRabim. It wasn't a throwing in a public domain. It was a throwing in a Mokom Ptur domain. Ela, so where do we find Zorek, Shekein Orge, Yurios, Zorkin, Bochiar, Lishoalein? The weavers of the fabrics of the Mishkan threw their Bochiar from one to another. In other words, if one of the weavers needed to borrow a bochiar, so the owner of one of a bochiar would throw his to the friend that wants to borrow it. The Gemara asks, "Vidilma gabi hadodi havu yasvi." So maybe they were sitting though next to each other. The Gemara says, "No, motu hadodi b'chefes." If they were sitting so close to one another, so it would get caught on the edge of the fabric, and it would ruin their efforts. Chefes is the edge or the border of the fabric. The Dilma, the Gemara, Shalchufi Havu Mishalchufi. Maybe they were sitting in a staggered fashion. They were sitting one next to each other, one facing, let's say, north, and the other facing south, or one facing west, the other facing east. That's a situation where they were in fact in proximity of one another, but not in a setup that wouldn't result in the item being caught on the border of the fabric. Vesu, and furthermore, Mishi'ili Mahadodi, was there any borrowing that took place in the first place in when it came to implements used in the construction of the Mishkan? Vatanya Luda. Luda is a name. He has a teaching that says, Ish ish mi malachtu asher hema oisim. That is a posuk. Mi malachtu oisav ena oisim mi maleches chaber. From this posuk we learn that people, each one had their own implements. There was no borrowing of implements from one to the other. So at this point in the Gemara, we don't have a source yet for Zorek Arba Amos Brishus HaRabim. The last attempt has been rejected, if you will, on the grounds that maybe they were sitting actually close to each other in the Shalchufei Mishalchufei fashion. And furthermore, the whole basis for answer number four, that they would borrow the implement, the Bochiar one from the other, doesn't even get started because each person had their own implements. There was no borrowing. Vesu, and another question, Mavir Arba Amos Brishus HaRabim Minolan de Mechayev, the Isser of carrying something for a distance of 4 Amos Brishus HaRabim, where do we know that that is a Shabbos violation? Elo, the Gemara answers, Kol Arba Amos Brishus HaRabim, all the different 4 Amma violations of Rishus HaRabim, Gemara, Gemiri, Law. They are an oral tradition that one is Chayev. In other words, without actually demonstrating a source or a precedent for it, there is nevertheless an oral tradition, Gemara, Gemiri, Law, that one is in violation of Shabbos if one either throws or is Mavi or something Arba Amma's Rishus HaRabim. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The Nosei is Mekoshesh. Deos Shonos Mahoya Aviro Shelo. The Torah has a story involving someone called a Mekoshesh Eitzim. And the Torah says that this person, whose name is not revealed explicitly in the Torah, he was guilty of a Shabbos violation, and hence he is Chayev, the death penalty. If one is warned, and there are witnesses who warn him about his action as being a Shabbos violation, nevertheless, he disregards their warning and deliberately goes ahead, knowing the penalty, goes ahead and violates Shabbos, he is Chayev Skila, stoning at the hands of Beis Din. So the Torah, as we said, featured a person called the Mekoshesh Eitzim. What is Mekoshesh, the Gemara? Omar of Yudah Mar Shmuel. Mekoshesh, first opinion, Mavir Arba Amos Brishus HaRabim Havi. He was someone who carried things for a distance of 4 Amos in Brishus HaRabim. B'masnisa Tana, in a Tanaic source, it is taught Tolesh Havi. He is someone that detached something growing from the ground. Number 3, Rav Achab Rabbi Yankiv Omar Ma'amir Havi. He was someone that bundled up items that were growing. He, Ma'amir, is the process of of taking scattered items of growth and gathering them together into a pile. Lemai nafkamina, of what practical significance is there in my knowing what exactly the Mekoshesh, what exactly he did? We know one thing: the Mekoshesh was an action. It's featured. It's brought in the Gemara in the Torah as a story of someone who was chayav misas based in for a Shabbos violation. Our question is: okay, so we were told in the Torah that a Mekoshesh, that the Mekoshesh was chayav misas based in. What practical legal ramification does that have for us? Answer: lichid rav. It has a nafgamina as a practical application for Rav's teaching, the Omar Rav. We should also note that we're about to learn what's called a long answer. The tuf you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line shows us how long this answer is. In the middle, there will be a bracketed section that initially we will skip. The contents of the brackets is a language version that is not accurate, needs correction. So the Gemara does that, and after the brackets, we pick up with the smooth reading. So the Gemara says we need the different deos. We need to discuss what exactly the Mekoshesh was. This has legal bearing for Rav's teaching. Well, what's Rav's teaching? The Omar Rav, Motzasi Megillah Storim Bei Rabbi Chia. I found a private notebook. A Megillah Storim is a private notebook. It was a prohibition. There is a prohibition of writing down Torah Sheba'al Peh and use it for teaching purposes. So people, if they had Torah Sheba'al Peh information, that's oral tradition, what we call things like the Gemara is Torah Sheba'al Peh, information that was part of the understanding of Torah, the oral tradition, that is. So people would keep private notebooks of that information so they wouldn't forget things. That's the Megillah Storim. So Rav says, I found a notebook like this, Bei Rav Chia, in the Yeshiva Rav Chia, the Kosov Bei, and the following was written, Isi Ben Yehuda Omer. Isi Ben Yehuda is a Tanaic opinion, we'll say a Tanaic authority. He says, Ovois Molochois Arboim Choser Achas, there are 39, means 40 minus 1, 39 primary Shabbos activities. The Eino Chayov, and we skip momentarily the bracketed section, the Eino Chayov Al Achas Mehem. And regarding one of the 39, there would be no capital offense. Rav Yehuda Pshita Le De Hamavir Chayov. I granted that I have a doubt regarding the Avos Malachos. One of them does not carry with it a capital penalty. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can be sure that Mavir is not the Malacha you are in doubt of, because Rav Yehuda explained Mekoshesh as being Mavir Arba Amos Shizrabim, and the Torah tells me that the Mekoshesh / Mavir Dal Amos Shizrabim is Chayav a capital punishment. Number two, Umasnisa Pshito Le Detolesh Chayev. And the second opinion we saw regarding what was the Mekoshesh, and that was Tolesh. Tolesh means someone who detached something that was growing. That Tolesh is not the Molocha that is in doubt. That, rather, is certainly, yes, Chayev as a capital offense. That's according to the Masnisa, the Tanaic source. And number three, Ravacho Bar Yanka Pshito Le Dema'amer Chayev. And according to Rav Acha, it's clear that Ma'amer is Chayev. It's not the one Malacha that was featured in the Megillah Storim that would not have been Chayev. Mor Sover Homias Lo Misafka. Each opinion holds that what they were describing, the Mekoshesh, is not in the Sofek. It's not part of the doubt raised by the Megillah Storim. Notice we had a bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go back over the that section. The Megillas Torim have said, Isi ben Yehuda says, Ovos Molochas, Arboim Chosar Achas, the Eino Chayov. Now we're starting the bracketed section, the length of the brackets. We have a bracket length indicator to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, the vertical dash dotted line. So in this Megillas Torim, it had said that there are 39 Ovos Molochas, the Eino Chayov Elo Achas, and you're considered guilty of only one. That would mean that if you do all 39 malachas, you would be considered guilty of only one offense, and if you did it unwittingly, so you would bring only one sin offering. The Gemara asks, achas vesulo, only one? If you did all 39 ovos malachas, is that so? The Hotnan, the Mishnah says, ovos malachas arboim chaser achas. The Mishnah in the 7th perek mentions this. And we asked, Minyona Lomali, what do I need the number to be spelled out when all 39 activities are themselves spelled out? So all you have to do is count them up, and you can figure out that there are 39 without a sentence saying they are 39 in number. So why does it spell that out? If you did all 39 in one state of lack of awareness, in other words, you sewed and you cooked and you built something and you wrote something, etc., all not realizing that today was Shabbos, what is the din? What is the result? Chayav al kol achas vachas. You're chayav for each one separately. So how can you claim that the Megillas Torim would have said that eino chayav elo achas? Emo? Rather, what it should be said, more accurate version is, eino chayav al achas mehem. Regarding one of the 39 ovos molochos, and I'm not sure which one it is, but one of them does not result in a capital offense. So one of them I'm not sure about, but one thing is for sure. According to these three opinions, each one with their idea of the Makoshesh, that one is not in the doubt. So according to Rav Yehuda, Mavir Dal Amos Shus Rabim is definitely Chayav Mises based in, and according to the Masnisa, Tolesh is definitely Chayav, and according to Rav Acha, Ma'amir is definitely Chayav. We continue the Gemara at the Tanaic source that you see at the bottom of the page. Tana Ravonan, the Tanaic source is defined by the framed section. Tana Ravonan, Mekoshesh Ze Tzlofchad. As we mentioned earlier, the Torah doesn't say who the Mekoshesh was. So we have a Tanaic source, and we'll see shortly it's Rebbe Akiva's opinion, that the Mekoshesh was none other than Tzlofchad. Tzlofchad is famous because of his daughters, the Benos Tzlofchad, who are featured in the Torah and Sefer Bamidbar, as desiring a section of Eretz Israel, being that they had no brothers that inherited together with them. In other words, they were heiresses, leaving their father Tzlofchad died, leaving no sons, only daughters. And in such a case, they felt, and they were right, that they should inherit. Anyway, that's not important for us right now. Rather, their father, namely Tzlofchad, who's the focus of our discussion. So the source opens up and tells us that this Mekoshesh, who was in violation of Hilchus Shabbos, was Tzlofchad. V'chein hu omer, the pasuk says, Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar, v'yimtzu ish Mekoshesh eitzin b'yom ha-Shabbos. That's the Mekoshesh pasuk, u'lahalan omer, and when the daughters chimed in with their claims for a piece of Eretz Yisrael, they said, Avinu meis b'amidbar. And we're emphasizing the word Bamidbar. They said our father died in the Midbar. This creates a Gezerah Shava between the Pasuk of the Mekoshesh and Tzlofchad, who is clearly the subject of Avinu, our father. It was their father's name was Tzlofchad. Ma lahalon Tzlofchad, just like there, the Pasuk with the Benos Tzlofchad is Slavchad. Afkan, so to the Mekoshesh Pasuk that also mentions the word Bamidbar, is Slavchad. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This has been Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira challenges Rabbi Akiva and says, Akiva, Benkach ubenkach ata osid litain es hadin. This way or that way, you are going to have to pay the price, so to speak. You're going to have to offer an explanation. Litain es hadin is to pay the price. Im kidvorecha, if you are correct that Slavchad was the Mekoshesh, HaTorah kistav atamegalo, so the Torah took pains to cover it up. In other words, it didn't spell out that the Mekoshesh was Slavchad, and you are now revealing that. The Torah wanted to, we'll say, protect him, so to speak, by covering up his name, and you are revealing it. V'im lav, and if you are not correct, ata moitzi laz alos tzadik, then you're casting aspersions, you're defaming an otherwise pious individual. The Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Zayin Omed Aleph. V'yelo ho gomar gezeiro shava. How can Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra say the Torah covered it up when there is a word comparison? And we know that a Gezeira Shavah is tantamount to something being spelled out. So why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra saying the Torah covered it up? The Gemara answers, Gezeira Shavah lo gomar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra didn't have that tradition. He didn't have a tradition that the words by Midbar in these two psukim are linked to one another. A Gezeira Shavah is a word comparison, is something that can be done only if you have an oral tradition to that fact. It's not something that one does on their own. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, in the absence of having this oral tradition, he felt that the Torah did not reveal who the identity of the Mekoshesh. Elo Mehecha Habe. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Torah says that he was sentenced to a death penalty. What was his offense? Answer, Miviapilu Have. He was from the group of people that went to Eretz Israel prematurely, who were warned not to, and yet nevertheless they entered Eretz Israel before the time, and they were killed. So, but Rashi points out that even though it was sinful to do what they did, it's nevertheless, it's not such a violation, it's not such a severe violation as Chilul Shabbos. So even if Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is telling us he was from the group of Vayapilu, nevertheless, it's not considered defaming him so much as Rabbi Akiva did by exposing him as a Mechalel Shabbos. Kayotze Badovrata Omer. And here we have another Tanaic source, and you'll see Kaitzebo means similarly. We have a source, and people, you'll see the similarity between the source we just had with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Becerra in this discussion, also involving Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Becerra. Similarly, Ata Omer, Vayichar Av Hashem Bom Vayelech. This is a pasuk involving the incident where Miriam, where the wife of Moshe, that is Zipporah, had complained that she doesn't see her husband Moshe Rabbeinu so much as he is a prophet and leader of the Jewish people, and she echoed her dissatisfaction, if you will, to Miriam, Moshe's sister. And Miriam had spoken up, challenging Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior in claiming that she and Aaron as well are, that she is a Novi as well, and they maintain a normal family life as opposed to Moshe. And in that incident, Miriam is called to task as being in violation of a certain, let's say, form. It's a refined level offense of Lashon Hara, of speaking or challenging Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior. So in that incident, Miriam and Aaron, the other brother of Moshe, was also there. So the source tells us that in the pasuk it says, Vayichar Av Hashem Bom Vayelach.
Melame, the fact that Pasuk says bom means as a plural word, Hashem was angry, was displeased with them. This shows us that Af Aaron Nitzara, that Aaron, in addition to Miriam, also became afflicted with Tzaras. Now the Torah speaks about Miriam's affliction in an explicit fashion. It doesn't mention that Aaron's name explicitly in the context of the Tzaras punishment. But, we should say, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva reveals, though, that Aaron also was punished with Tzaras, which is the punishment associated with one who is in violation of Lashon Hara. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah challenges, once again, Akiva. Whether you're right or not, you are going to have to pay the price. If you are right that Aaron was also afflicted with Tzaras, insofar he was party to the Lashon Hara, so then HaTorah Kistov HaTamagalo. So the Torah tried to cover that up. It didn't reveal that explicitly, and you are revealing it. V'imlav, and if you're wrong, atamotzi laz alos tzadik. You're casting aspersions on Aaron, who was a tzadik, a righteous individual. The Gemara asks, how can Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah say that the Torah covered it up? Well, hoksiv bom, but does it not say bom them in the plural? And in that context, we know there was Miriam and Aaron were there. So the Gemara answers, "Hahu benezifa bi'amo." The pasuk says, "Vayichar Hashem bom." Hashem was upset, was angered with them. So fine, he was angered with them, but it doesn't say explicitly that Aaron received the serious punishment of Tzaras. And that's what upset Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah with Rabbi Akiva. Tanya keman de Omar af Aaron nitzara. We have a teaching that says that Aaron, in fact, was punished with Tzaras. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Vayifen Aaron el Miriam, vihine mit Tzaras. That is a pasuk. It says, and Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she had Tzaras. Tana, and the source tells us, Shepona mi Tzaroso, that he turned from, what does it mean he turned? It means he turned from his Tzaras. Rashi points out that he also was afflicted with Tzaras, but he was healed much faster. Miriam's Tzaras lasted for a week. Aaron's lasted, it seems, for a matter of moments. But the point being that we have this Tanaic source that he too was, like Rabbi Akiva said, was afflicted. Omar Reish Lakish, Hachoyshe B'ksherim Loike B'gufo. One who suspects, casts doubt or aspersions on someone who is kosher, someone who is wholesome, one who therefore casts doubts on someone who is wholesome, is subject to being punished bodily. Dichtiv, we have the following psukim that point this out. Moshe Rabbeinu said regarding the people of Israel, the Jewish people, when Kodesh Baruch Hu said that he was sending Moshe to redeem them, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'hein lo yaminu li," they won't believe me. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, knew that the Jews would believe him. Omar lo, HaKodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Hein maminim b'nei maminim." They are believers, the children of believers. They are the descendants of the Avos that were great believers. The ato ein sovcho lahamin, but you are someone that eventually are not going to be someone that we can call a ma'amin. The Gemara explains, hein ma'aminim dichtiv vayeamein ha'om. They are believers, and insofar as it says that the people did trust Moshe. B'nei ma'aminim, they are the offspring of ma'aminim, v'hamin b'ashem. The Avos believed in Hashem. They trusted him. V'ata ein sof halahamin, however, you are someone that eventually is not going to be a ma'amin. Shenemar, yan lohem mantem bi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, since you didn't have trust in me regarding Moshe, regarding Moshe, this pasuk is said. Mimai Daloka, and so where do you know that there is, because he, Moshe Rabbeinu, was someone that was Choshed B'Ksheirim, where do we see that he was bodily afflicted? Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Lo, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu was demonstrating different signs, miraculous signs, to Moshe, that he would use in proving him his trustworthiness or his authenticity, the following pasuk appears: Vayomer Hashem Lo, Od Have No Yodcha Bechekecha. The pasuk says that you'll insert your hand into your bosom and take it out, and behold, it was mitzoras kishelig. It was afflicted with tzaras. So we see that because Moshe Rabbeinu had cast his doubts regarding the trustworthiness or the trusting capacity of the Jewish people, he doubted them in that area. He himself was punished for that, as this pasuk is proof to that. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.